Hello, and welcome to the Abundology Podcast. My name is Renee Spears, and I'm here with one of my good friends, Angie Sims, who is the owner of the Wild Weed and the inventor of the Mini Canna Lab. So I'm going way outside my comfort zone today. I've done many presentations in front of thousands of people. Not nervous. Today, nervous as fuck. So this started, Angie and I had been working together on a project, and she would ask questions and I would get answers from her guides to pass on. And then the questions came, what would you say, Angie, like deeper, wider, more meaningful? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I just got more, instead of it being more about business, it became more about life and spirituality in business, and then kind of, how that all went together.
Yeah. So she, I don't know, for the last 6 months or so has been asking me like these kind of out there spiritual questions. And then I have been channeling, I don't know who the fuck I'm channeling. We will find out today, maybe. And I'm giving her the answer. So this is the very first time I'm doing this as a recording on the podcast. I don't know any of these questions, right? We haven't talked about what these are.
No, I felt like it was better that you didn't.
So, I think so too. Yeah. Okay, so we will see. We'll see how this works. And fingers crossed we get some good info. So it's up to you, Angie.
It's always good info when we're communicating with non-physical. So yeah. okay, so I mean, the first question that I would like to ask is, who are you actually channeling? I know a lot of channelers refer to their sources, their guides or their angels, or some are just non-physical entities. So can they explain to us who they are?
Yeah, so most of the time when I work with clients, I channel their guides. So that's kind of cool. But today I'm channeling mine and some of yours too, Angie, which is cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I'm asking questions as we do this. Like, are you angels? Are you ascended masters? Are you, and no, we're just Renee's guides, nice. But I have super great guides. So I'm happy about that.
Is there a number? Is there like a number of guides that are present, or is it changing constantly throughout your sessions?
Oh, that's a really good question. So each client comes with their own pack of guides. I'm going to say usually between 6 and 10, and I can see them. They kind of team up with me off to the side, and we like are the panel answering the questions. But for my guides today, 6, there's 6 of them today. So as I get more info, I'm going to share it, because why the hell not? We're doing whatever we want today anyway. So, but they're saying that you don't forget that you can call in as many guides as you want. You are not limited to a certain number. So if you're going through something really difficult in your life or whatever, you can call in more guides to help me out this time. So that's kind of cool. Good info.
Nice. Do they have individual names or a collective name that we can call them?
We'll just use Renee's guides, because I'm not getting anything on a name. So
okay. All right, Renee's guides. Thank you. So because Renee is an abundologist, I'm just curious, like, what the guides have to say about abundance, like how they would define it and how they would define the importance of abundance in our lives, I guess.
So abundance, and a lot of the stuff when I'm saying this, as you know, but I want to clarify for everyone out there, a lot of this is like the first time I'm hearing this. So I'm trying to kind of decipher it too in the moment. What they're saying is abundance is allowing yourself to live in the flow, that you're not blocking off part of the flow. And this is Renee. I can explain it like with the faucet, like you're living with the faucet full on with abundance, like you get all the good stuff. And with that too, though, there is some, what we would consider bad stuff down here in, you know, human land. But that bad stuff is actually still good stuff. So abundance is living full on in the energy flow.
Nice. So are we all here to experience abundance, or are some of us here with different intentions? Like, are all of us here with that intention of abundance? Or
everybody can experience abundance. We're limited by where, how we think and our circumstances. But no, not everybody is here to experience that like this lifetime. Other people, other beings have chosen to experience different things. Yeah.
Okay. So are we, did abundance connect us? Are we abundant?
are you the two of us?
Well, and obviously your listeners and other people that are drawn to this must have some of that in their
Yeah. So we all are like vibrating at the same resonance level. So anybody that you're attracted with like that, you're vibrating at their level. So the people that have found me or that I work with or whatever are at that same vibrational level. So right. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. What is, do they have... Like, what's the easiest way to improve our flow of abundance? If there is like one, I don't know.
Okay.
There was one thing to be said about it, or multiple things to be said about it.
Yeah. So I'm going to really get out of Renee brain, because this could be something we could talk about fucking forever on here.
Right.
So I'm going to go to like the asking, what would be the one thing, or a couple, let's don't limit it. What's the top few things that we can do? Okay, so we turn off the amount of flow coming to us. Like, we shut it off. We have a bad experience. We shut off that part of our life. And pretty soon then you can't, not as much flow is coming through. So I would say the main thing you can do is like open it back up, like get rid of the things that are blocking you. And that's like a every day, all day long type thing that you have to be mindful. So this is like your mindful work is, you know, keeping the things blocking you at bay, not giving them any attention, keeping yourself in the flow.
Right. Yeah. And that's what you teach. okay. This is... kind of the last question about abundance. And I don't know why, just because it's in everybody's lives right now, but what did Corona do for people's awareness and, or I guess just flow of abundance?
Oh my God, this is a long answer. Who knew this would be such a long answer? Well, apparently a few years ago, and spiritual people that have been in the spiritual world for a while will remember this, but there was talk of breaking off into two realities. And a lot of us were like, what the fuck is the two realities? How, you know, how does that even look? We don't know. But now it's pretty clear to see in our country, there's really two realities happening. So what did COVID have to do with that? Okay. Some people are taking the lower vibrational reality, the old fashioned being stuck in one in their dimension reality, where the rest of us are moving to a different kind of dimension, higher vibrating, higher resonance reality. So COVID needed a timeout. We needed timeout because this is like a big fucking deal for us to, and people I would think would call this ascension, but I'm just going to call it like we're moving to a different resonance. We're living a different way. So COVID gave us the opportunity to take a time out and also to go back to appreciation, because we were way off course of taking things for granted, not, you know, not living in the moment, striving. So we needed we needed to sit in the corner and have a timeout for a while. now, and I even feel this too, is like, I feel like I appreciate everything so much more. Even the walk I took this morning, it was just like, oh my God, I just appreciate the smells and the people. And so that's one of the gifts that COVID has got us. And we needed to get there to that spot so that we can move forward with this new resonance of who we are.
Yeah, I was just thinking that the other day too. Somebody asked me, how was my last year? And I said, awesome. And normally I don't say that because I feel, I don't know, like it's not right to say, but then I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. Okay. So that actually segues into another question that was further down on my list, but I'm going to skip there now because you just touched on it about resonance and dimensions. And I feel like there is a lot of talk about multidimensionality and dimension this and 3D and 4D and 5D and da da da. And I've been contemplating, like, what does dimension mean? And I've even just looked up like Webster Dictionary dimension and physics of dimensions. And I don't know, I kind of was thinking maybe it's just perspectives, like multi-perspectives, but what are they saying about why is everybody using that word? And two, what does it, can you define it?
Okay. So that's just a word that it's not a special word. That's kind of our word that we've used to, and sometimes spiritual people do this. We kind of like put ourselves, like we know about the new dimensions, the fifth dimension or whatever, right. You know? So I'm not going to go there, but that they're saying that's not it. That you can see things that you can't see in other dimensions. And they're telling me to tell you a story. And you know, I do this, Angie, with sometimes stories are the way that I explain things or they get explained to me is like in the olden days when the Native Americans were here and the pilgrims came over, the Native Americans couldn't even see their ships. Like the ships were 100 feet offshore and they couldn't even see them because in their reality, ships didn't even exist. Like they had no idea that, so they literally could not see them. So that's kind of where we are now. There's things that are out here, but we can't see them because it's not in our reality. So moving to this next resonance, I would prefer to call it, it's like getting LASIK or glasses where you can see so much better and clearer and the colors are there. And you have more of an understanding about how energy and the world works. So it's like going from, you're in kindergarten, if we're using 3D where we are right now in kindergarten, you know, I'm not crazy about these 5Ds right. And 3Ds and all that.
That's fine. We can skip them. Yeah.
Exactly. But then the 5D, if we're using that one, is like, we just graduated from high school and we got super great x-ray glasses where we could see how everything works in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's that more of a level of consciousness, but the knowing is right there instead of like trying to figure it out where a lot of us have been, you know, in 3D.
Gotcha. So yeah. So more awareness.
Got more it. Awareness.
Yeah, that makes sense. More awareness of lots of different types.
Lots of different types of things. Okay. So they're saying in this new resonance, oh my God, this is exciting that we should very soon be able to see aliens and that kind of stuff. That is something that's going to happen as more of a shift into this different resonance. It's almost like the ships out to sea where like they're there now, but we can't see them. So that's kind of exciting and weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, there already are some people who have obviously had interactions.
Totally. Lots of them, I think.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense to me too. I like that word resonance and awareness better than, I don't know why that word was tripping me up so much. It's like, what does that mean? Multidimensional.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Okay, I'm going to stick on a little train of thought here. So I'm curious, like, so what about animals? Like, are animals increasing their awareness, their consciousness, as well? And is it animals, pets versus animals, like the beasts of our land? And like, so is there a difference, I guess, between our pets and our animals? And are the animals also like having this split, or not this split, but this choice of residence?
Wow. Well, a lot of the animals are already there. So
they're already in the flow.
They're already in the flow. Right. That's where they're living. So,
right. That makes sense.
And some of them don't have the consciousness to get to like what we're talking about. You know, they don't really understand it. They're in the moment. They're living in the, they're fully living in the flow in the moment. Okay, I want to ask though about wild animals and pets. See if there's like a difference. So no, wild animals and the pets are pretty much already living there. But for a lot of us, our pets are our guides right now. They're like able to hold this higher resonance for us. No wonder it feels so good to be around your pets. They're able to hold that energy and that resonance so that we can access it a little bit easier. How cool is that? You know, when we're
thinking, it makes total sense.
Doesn't
it? Everybody feels better about petting their animal.
Yeah, totally. And they've done all those studies. Your blood pressure goes down if you pet your dog and all that. Yeah. It reminds me of like witches that, I want to think of Sabrina, the teenage witch, where she has, you know, like her, I think it's a cat that is kind of her, like her familial. I think that's what she calls it, you know, like her soulmate in a sense to come along on the journey with her. That's what our pets are.
Nice. And I'm so happy to have our little foster pet here.
Oh, do you have a foster pet?
Yeah, a little foster. We're fostering a kitten for a couple months while we're
fun.
Here. So yes, and she's a lover. So yeah. Okay, and then to take it on to still on the same note of the resonance and consciousness, we talked a little bit about this the last two times I've had sessions with you, but crystals. So like crystals versus rock. So like crystals having, I know we talked about them having their own vibration, but does that mean they also have an awareness or do they just have a vibration? Those are two different things I'm thinking. But if you want to clarify and add anything else about crystals and consciousness vibrations, that'd be cool.
I don't get a consciousness around crystals like we would think of it for humans. Like, yeah, I don't get that kind of consciousness. It's just like the such clean lines and clean resonance that one help us get to this other resonance, help like the pets, it kind of brings us along, you know, helps us out. But as far as thinking and feeling, I'm going to say no. Is it no? Is this Renee no? Or is this like real no? No, it's more, it's a different thing. It's like, it has such, okay, certain things are placed on your planet to help out, balance the energy around your whole entire planet. And some of those then are attracted to certain people to help them balance their energy. Like it really, really helps crystals because they're so clean. There's no, it's such a great, clean vibration. There's no garbage with it.
Right.
And it helps. And, but not as conscious, not, I don't see as like they're thinking. They're not, I don't see them thinking.
Well, that makes sense, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
It makes me appreciate my crystals so much more.
No, I was just thinking the same thing.
Okay. Okay, so this is like, I'll set this up as like a, it may be a 2 or 3 part question, but I'm just curious about, okay, I'll just set the scene and then we'll go from there. So we've talked, you and I have talked about empathy and it's like a big thing out there right now to be, you know, define yourself as an empath or realize you're an empath. And I know for me, it was like, at least it made me feel like, wow, I'm not crazy. Something is happening here. And I know for me, it's always been about like how to become less empathic, or at least control it, I guess, a little bit more and become more aware of it. So actually, I just kind of answered my own question. So, okay. So the main question though is everybody empathic, and are some of us just a little more aware of it than others, or are there certain empathic people just like, I don't know if there's like certain people that are clairaudient or clairvoyant, clairsentient, or does everybody have that capacity and we're all just on different like levels of that?
Everybody has the ability to do that, but there are definitely people that they feel it so much more than other people. And I think we've talked about this before. I'm not an empath. That's, you know, I have to say, when I talk to empaths and some of the things that you guys struggle with and stuff, I'm kind of grateful on that part of it. So yes, everybody has the ability, but some people are like really have the ability, and that's how they came in with a full ability already, you know, there.
Gotcha. And is there a difference? I guess what I've tried to do is instead of being empathic, is to switch to, well, I guess that's more empathy versus empath. Do you want to touch on that? Like the difference between empathic and empathy? Do you know what I mean?
I do. So empathic it means that you're feeling it like all the time. Like you're a huge like antenna, but you're just absorbing like everybody's from wherever.
Right.
Can this come from wherever? Does it just come from people? No, it actually comes from wherever, like other things too. Pets hurting, if even some people with the environment and plants and all that. So there's different ways of feeling it and different people that can do that. But empathy, no, we can all feel that. That's a human emotion, you know, that you can feel with. So I can feel that towards something, but I'm not picking up all the vibes from that person coming back in.
Gotcha.
That doesn't clarify it that well.
I mean, it kind of does. So instead of feeling, so it's like the difference between feeling somebody and feeling for somebody. Like, I don't think that makes sense.
Yes, that is exactly it. Instead of feeling everything that they're feeling, all their sadness, all their overwhelm, all of that, you can just feel for them. Oh my goodness, if I was in that situation, it must feel like this and it must feel horrible.
Right.
Yeah, those are two different things.
Right. So for the empathic people, like, is it useful to learn how to switch that empathicness to just empathy? Like, is there, okay. I guess what, in their opinion, because there's so many, you know, you can put a bubble, you can do all these things, you can do this and that. And for me, it was just a switch of perspective, like just understanding that everybody is here for a reason. And although I may feel that reason, it's not my reason. And so just seeing it in a different way is what helped me the most. But I'm just curious if the guides have anything to say about empaths.
So they're saying that we're in touchy waters, touchy situation, because our goal is to be in the flow so we can, you know, we can be fully alive and feel all the good stuff. So when you shut off some of the empathy, you are shutting off some of the flow with that too. Now, it might be worth it in certain situations to do that. You know, if you're downtown around a bunch of homeless people or people are in a tragedy or really, really suffering, and who can take all that on? You're going to have to shut that out, I think, to be able to function in life, but you're aware of it. Okay. So awareness is the key. You don't want to just do like a blanket, like I'm shutting myself off from all these emotions. that gets you out of the flow. But okay, when I'm around this type of situation, I'm choosing to shut off this part of the absorption of it. Absolutely. I think that that's okay.
Right.
Of course, then you have to be aware that you're shutting it off and that you're turning it back on.
Right. That makes sense. Like even when I'm watching a movie sometimes, it's easier with a movie because I really can literally shut it off.
So true.
And sometimes I just don't turn it back on. But anyway, that's cool. So I'm going to switch to empathy now. There's a big push to teach empathy in general to kids at school, to the general public, like, oh, we need to become, feel more empathy for others so that we can understand their position, blah, blah, blah. But on the contrast to that, so a lot of kids coming in have autism and a lack of empathy. And so, including my daughter. And so some of, like I always see children as teachers, as our teachers. And so I'm thinking, wow, they're teaching us like kind of what law of attraction, you know, a little bit of it, like focus on yourself, pay attention to yourself and don't worry about everybody else's problems. So it's like two the opposite ends of the stick. So is there like, are they coming in to teach us to like, we don't need to have this empathy? Or is it sort of like some people have it too much and need to balance one way and other people don't have it enough and need to balance in the middle? So is it a balancing act or is there like a preference of, or is it also just a definition thing? Like maybe have compassion instead of empathy. Like maybe we're using the wrong words.
So yeah, that's a really good. Well, okay. So they're saying as a society, we were lacking in this area. Clearly we know that based on what we're saying. The kids that are coming in with special needs, autism or any of that, they're not here to teach society about any of this. This is their own individual journeys, but they're not individual because they do, okay, because they've chosen the parents and the people around them. They've all chosen it, not just the child, but the parents, the child, the grandparents, all of them signed up this time. And they each have like individual things that they are working on, the biggest one being unconditional love. So we're way, if we're talking about unconditional love, we're way past sympathy or empathy to unconditional love. Like that's like the biggie. So right. We've just bypassed all those other things. Part of these two realities now, but it's interesting that we're talking about this. One of them is a lack of empathy and sympathy that's really stunted in one of those, where the other reality, there's multiples, but let's talk about the two, is that's part of what COVID needed to teach us and what we need the reset button. Okay, you guys fucked this up. Let's hit the reset button so we can move forward in a whole new way of being. And that's part of it. So the empathy, I would never have guessed this in a million years, is kind of one of the determining factors. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. I mean, when you say it like that, it makes total sense though.
It does make total sense. So getting again to make sure that I say again that the autism kids, this isn't one of the things that they're here to like.
That's just like a byproduct that we happen to like all the other stuff that totally. We sort of navigate through life with, you know, these things that we need to teach and do and blah, blah, blah. The hardware, some of the hardware. nice. So, okay. I'm kind of like leaving that for a minute and Actually, don't I only have really one more?
Okay, wonderful.
Question. Okay. It could lead to a set of questions. We'll see. So, okay, this came just because I was doing like a crystal bowl session, and it just made me think of the different like healers and channelers and psychics and intuitives and just different aspects and of this kind of world that you're a part of. Like obviously the information that they get, well, we'll just focus more on the healing. So on the healers, I guess, or quote unquote, what we would call the healers. So I guess I'm thinking more like Reiki and modalities and certain things like that. So everybody has their perspectives and their beliefs and their patterns. So what makes a healer or somebody who's helping somebody else good at what they do if they have certain patterns of beliefs that may or may not match up with yours or may not be vibrationally like higher, I guess? So like if they're in a lower vibration of thought and beliefs and patterns, how are they accessing, I guess, more a higher vibration healing energy, or do they even need to, or does it just need to be just like more than the person that they're their client that they're working with?
So we're all attracted to the people that we need to meet at the exact right time to help us heal. And I really am not crazy about levels, because that implies right. that somebody is better than somebody else. And that's just not true. Yeah. But for talking about this and trying to figure it out, there are some that aren't able to access the higher stuff. But if we're good, what you're good at is you get out of your own way and you're just allowing the energy of the universe to channel through you without your own agendas, without your own shit. Your shit gets pushed to the side. So those are the good healers. Hmm. Not to say that the other healers couldn't raise your vibration in a certain area of your body to maybe where their vibration is, but you're not getting the full-on healing power of the energy of the universe with some people.
Right. Well, and I've experienced different levels of people at being able to do that. And it's quite fascinating when somebody's like, you can totally feel that coming out of somebody. So it's just their focus and their practice of being able to do that, of getting themselves out of the way. They're just really a lot more focused on how to do that.
Yes. Yes. And I know that we've talked about this before, because I even use that, you know, I do this little saying, like, I'm going to say the whole thing, so it comes to me. Any of my personal beliefs that are not for the highest good, may they not come through. So I'm allowing, you know, knowing, because that's sometimes I'll say, like, is this Renee belief? Is this right. for real? Or is this a real belief? You know, I have to kind of determine what's what and leave my beliefs to the side. So, right. So the work then of people that are really helping, there's lots of healers, but the people that are really helping is to keep them keep themselves in the highest vibration that they possibly can, the clearest channel without the bullshit, with the peace of mind, all of that, so that they're able to do their job.
Right.
So, and you know, we're human. So there's some days, you know, right. that you're human and you can't do that. I had to cancel appointments because I had something wrong with Jack. And I know I couldn't keep myself there when I was thinking about something happening with Jack, you know?
Right.
So I think that's the responsibility, though, of the people, but they may not even know.
Right. Right. Maybe they're not aware.
Maybe they're not aware. Yeah.
Maybe that yeah. dimension isn't there yet. Maybe their ship, maybe that ship is still in the fog.
Or they just don't understand it. Okay, right. So let's get talk a little bit more, because there's more information here to share. So those healers, what they're really doing is they're fine tuning your resonance, almost like you would tune a piano. you know, like this key should sound like that. So it's their energy that may be clearing out anything that's funky vibration. And that could be like a cancer or cells that are different vibrating. Some people have that skill and their energy kind of like just clears that up because it shifts the vibration of that, that those so healers that do that. In my case, I didn't know this. This is so cool. In people's brains, apparently, different thoughts have different vibrations. That's also in all around them in their aura. And it's to break up those dense vibrations of thoughts to allow better thinking, better feeling, higher vibrating thoughts to actually make their way into their consciousness.
Nice.
That's kind of cool.
Well, yeah.
I'm putting that on my website because that's great.
Yeah, that's very cool. Oh my gosh.
And we're also coming into a time where there's a lot of people that came here this lifetime to help with this in many different ways, sound healers, health healers, energy healers, all of that. And this is kind of like our time, like we're getting there to like, okay, this is what we came here to do. So COVID in a sense is like the start of us all activating like, okay, now it's time.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so going on with the thoughts, because it is the thoughts that create, you know, your reality and everything else. So in my experience, and just from listening to different, I don't know, different types of healers out there, like a healer can help you feel that vibe that you're going for. But then you are the one that needs to maintain it by your thoughts, because that's sometimes why it doesn't stick, or that's why you feel good for like a minute. So I guess in my experience, like when I first started getting Reiki, I was like addicted to it a little bit, like,
yeah,
because I would feel so awesome, but then it would kind of fade. And then I was like, well, how do I maintain this for myself? And that's when I started getting into more of the like Abraham and focusing on that so that I could do it for myself instead. I don't know if there's a question there. Is there anything to comment about? Like, so I guess like for people who have like more spontaneous healing, like a healer goes and then they're good and they're like good for life. Did they just like change their thought pattern right then and there for the rest of their life? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's really for me, it was more gradual, I guess, is what I'm saying. So then for some people who have like a, like one time session with a healer or whatever, are they just, and maybe it's kind of like people that have a near death experience and then they're all of a sudden their perspective changes. So maybe, I guess that's what I'm asking. Like some people, their perspective changes immediately and other people it takes time.
Yes. And it comes down to believing if it's possible or not.
Oh, right.
And so a lot of these healers, and they're like that John of God that's in Brazil or wherever, you know, multiple healers like that, the people have this deep belief that this person or whatever can fix this. And so it's the belief, it's not the person, it's the belief that's shifting them. So it is absolutely, you and I have really crazy ass beliefs. We could shift that belief in a second and our lives could be completely changed. So that's the work, really, is to shift those beliefs. So that's why when people have like a spontaneous healing, even in like churches, when the, you know, the preacher like saves them, you are healed. That's right. They believe. Same kind of with placebos too. You think you're getting the drugs and then the drugs are working. So, you know, you believe it all goes back to your thinking.
Right. So, well, and it's that, you know, a belief is just a thought that you keep thinking. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. So then I know that part of what I do is I break up the energy of the belief. And then I have to walk people through like why you don't want to believe this belief. And so it's broken up, but then if you don't have that change right away, which sometimes that happens, but then you have to do the work like you're talking about. When that comes up again, you have to talk yourself through it.
Right.
You know, like, yes, that doesn't make any sense. That's not logical, whatever. So that you work your way through. And then after you do that a few times, the belief shifts.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Or like me, you just have to wake up every morning and remind yourself.
Yeah. Remind yourself. Write yourself a sticky note. Remember.
Remember, you don't believe that anymore. Yeah,
exactly.
I have more questions that I thought I would save for next time, because I feel like they're all based around like, I guess more about awareness and more about consciousness. We could talk about it, or we could just save that for next time. I don't know what the time on this is.
I think we should save it for next time.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause we got a lot of good stuff today. So
I know I wrote most, I don't know. I'm writing all of it down like I normally do. Obviously I get to see replay, but yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Angie, for coming up with these questions and asking such good ones too.
Well, thank you, because this right here is actually a manifestation, like culminating right at this moment, like during this interview, because I remember when I first started listening to channeling, especially like the Esther and Jerry thing, I was like, I need to find somebody to be my Esther. So you are my Esther. And this is
you're my
Abraham. This is
you're
awesome for me.
Oh my goodness. I'm your Esther. Oh, how fun. I have to say that, you know, I was really kind of nervous about doing this and putting my, like, you know, I'm on the edge of my comfort zone with this, putting this out there.
I can tell, because I had to like email you a couple of times.
I know. But now that I've done it, it's like, no, that's not any big deal. I can do this again. Yeah. It's okay. I'll get in each time. I'll get better and better. So.
Well, and you're already, look at awesome information. I can't wait to digest, but yeah.
Well, thank you, Angie. And thank you everybody for listening. I appreciate you tuning in to listen to this, and we'll let you know when we have the next podcast up with channeling. All right. Have a good day, everyone.